Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. In the wake of the terrorist attack in Paris, leaving eight terrorists so far counted, killing 130 people, maybe 300 wounded, America has taken on a war footing. It seems that all the Republican candidates, and Donald Trump in particular, are out to frame this as a war, and in particular, a war against Islam. There's a lot of ugliness going on in the nation. In my home state of Virginia, just an hour away from where I sit in Fredericksburg, a mosque that had been in a nondescript building for the past 27 years held a public hearing on its expansion. The public hearing is to do, well, what all businesses seeking a permit for expansion want to do. Talk about parking issues, making sure it's not too crowded so when they have Friday prayers, you know, the streets don't get too clogged. Perfectly fair, reasonable request to expand their mosque for their growing membership, and it's actually quite kind of them to go to the community and to have a public hearing on things like parking issues. Well, if that's what they expected, it's not what they got. A number of people showed up, basically saying that this mosque that had peacefully coexisted in a town in Virginia that is just an hour away from here, it's not exactly rural. I mean, it's a little small city. That all of them were a bunch of terrorists and should be run out of town. The ugliness is exacerbated by the Republican candidates for president, most notoriously, of course, Donald Trump. Now, I, perhaps like most of Americans, have seen Trump as a buffoon, as a clown, as a reality star. I still, honestly, don't believe he believes what he says. I think he will say or do anything to get elected. But I also know a lot about history. He actually reminds me a lot of Joe McCarthy. Remember Senator Joseph McCarthy from Wisconsin? Senator Joseph McCarthy was a nondescript junior senator from Wisconsin in 1950. He'd won his first term, but it looked like he might lose his second term. His main issue was how to expand the St. Lawrence Seaway so that shippers from Wisconsin could get out and do business. A very good, if not that exciting, local issue for the people of Wisconsin. But he was losing in the polls. One day, he went out with his aides, got drunk, as Joe McCarthy was wont to do. He actually died of cirrhosis of the liver. He died from over-drinking. And he was talking about his St. Lawrence Seaway proposal, and one of his aides, or maybe it was McCarthy himself, it's not quite clear, as they were joking around and talking about what his issues should be for re-election, said, "Hey, why don't we talk about communists in the U.S. government?" They all had a good laugh. None of them knew of any secret communists in the U.S. government. But they got such a good laugh out of it that on the next day, as Joe McCarthy was changing planes from Wisconsin to Washington, he was changing planes, I believe, in West Virginia. And he took out his laundry list. When I say laundry list, I mean literally a laundry list. His cleaning. I got two suits. I've got three shirts. And holding up that laundry list to the United States press says, "I have here a list of 29 communists in the U.S. government." Reporters clamored to see his list, but McCarthy wouldn't show it to him. I guess he didn't want them to see his laundry list. And he said he was going to hold hearings on communists in the U.S. government. Now, maybe he planned it all as a joke. We may never know. Maybe he planned when he got to Washington, if the whole thing blew over, to show everyone the laundry list that he was just joking. But the country was in no mood for jokes. The country was scared. 1950 was the beginning of the Cold War. The Soviet Union had just detonated a nuclear weapon. We were fighting, just forming NATO and helping Turkey and Greece and doing the Marshall Plan. And there were questions of what would happen with Berlin. Americans were scared. So when Joe McCarthy, a United States senator, said he had a list of communists in the U.S. government, people took him seriously. And for the next 4 years, we had the Red Scare. We had everyone turned over in their records to see if they had supported the Communist Party, or maybe they were just socialists like Bernie Sanders. Or maybe in the 1930s, in the midst of the Great Depression, they had joined Communist Party USA, not because they supported the aims of Joseph Stalin, but because they were concerned about American workers, and the Communist Party in the 20s and 30s was also concerned about American workers. Or maybe they were African American and wanted civil rights for black people and couldn't get ahead in the Democratic or Republican Party. So they joined the Communist Party of the United States, not because they supported the gulags in the Soviet Union, but because they cared about civil rights. Didn't matter why people joined. Didn't matter that they weren't terrorists or in any way aligned with Stalin. Frankly, it didn't matter whether they joined the Communist Party at all. Joe McCarthy had a list. No one saw the list. But the list would eventually ruin tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of American lives. Actors on Broadway were fired. People in Hollywood were let go. Professors were let go from universities. The newspapers would report, Joseph McCarthy has declared Owen Lattimore a communist. And then on the next page, or maybe even a competing byline, Owen Lattimore denies he's a communist. Now, Owen Lattimore never was a communist, never had any association with the Communist Party. But the press, rather than finding out what was true, simply reported that McCarthy said he was a communist, Lattimore, and Lattimore said he wasn't a communist. And it was left to the public to figure out what was true. Needless to say, that got Lattimore in trouble. I just use him as an example. The point is that truth and falsity, it wasn't really the province of the press to determine which was actually true. They just reported the news. I happen to know, by the way, this because my high school senior paper was a study on Joe McCarthy and the press. I happen to know this era of American history quite well. Fast forward 60 years. Look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump claims he saw people, Arabs or Muslims, cheering after the towers fell on September 11th, 2001, in New Jersey. Now, there were some Palestinian Arabs that did cheer after September 11th. They did so in Gaza, in the West Bank, in the Middle East. There is no evidence that it ever happened in New Jersey. Not that it couldn't have, not that three or four misguided youth might not have done so. There's no evidence they did. But even if they did, it wasn't the thousands that Donald Trump suggested. When a black man came to a Trump rally and shouted Black Lives Matter, not only did the police escort him out, which they have a right to do, people shouldn't be disrupting speeches, but Donald Trump suggested they should rough him up a bit. Rough him up a bit. And then proceeded to tweet out a false tweet claiming that 80-some percent of white people were killed by black people. Well, no, 80-some percent of white people are killed by white people, and 80-some percent of black people are killed by black people, mostly because most murderers kill people they know, people who live in their neighborhood. So yeah, blacks kill blacks, and yeah, whites kill whites. That's sort of the nature of how it is. Trump gave out wrong statistics just after forcibly ejecting this protester. It's not the only thing he's done. He's proposed to forcibly expel 11 million people from the country. I don't know how he plans to do that. He cited Operation Wetback, the Eisenhower plan that took hundreds of thousands of people out of the country, including American citizens, dumped them off in rural places in Mexico where many people died. He plans to build a 2,000-mile wall and have Mexico pay for it, while claiming that Mexican immigrants were murderers and rapists and, I assume, some good people, too. He wants to end the idea that if you're born in America, you're a citizen. That's before the Syrian refugee crisis. Before a third of a country, millions of people escaping extreme brutality and 300,000 now probable deaths. I remember when it was 3,000. I remember when it was 50,000, 100,000, 200,000. I reported this to you on the air. Now it appears 300,000 people are dead in Syria. One-third of the country, 7 million, are refugees. He wants to send them home to the war zone, I guess. Some Republican candidates have even suggested having identification, show their religion. I guess it won't be a yellow star. Perhaps it'll be a red crescent. It's not just Donald Trump. I wish it were. I should note, though, that Donald Trump is the worst, and that may well be why he's ahead in the polls. It's not just Donald Trump. The number two candidate in the Republican presidential race, Ben Carson, has said he couldn't support a Muslim as president of the United States. Virtually all the Republican candidates talk about not allowing the refugees in. And Governor Chris Christie says, well, he doesn't know whether Donald Trump's telling the truth or not. It's important to remember that all of this is going on at a time when America is actually better off than the rest of the world, when we have fewer terrorist attacks than the rest of the world. And let's be clear, this is a Republican problem. When a Democratic mayor of Roanoke, Virginia, in my home state, said that he would not help settle Syrian refugees, he not only was rebuked by a Democratic delegate in the House of Delegates, whom I know well, Sam Rasool, who brought the community together under the hash line of Twitter, this is not the real Roanoke. But Hillary Clinton immediately dropped this mayor from her campaign. Democrats talk about compassion. We recognize there are security issues. We recognize that you have to undergo a vetting process to make sure the refugees are not dangerous, but the vast majority are not. And frankly, in France, they had no vetting process. People could come in from anywhere, and a lot of the people who caused the problem, who did the terrorist attacks, were French citizens. Indeed, I would argue, and I'm going to argue this hour, that it is precisely American tolerance toward Muslims, the fact that we do not establish a religion in the United States, that is the primary reason why most Muslim Americans are very happy to be here, are loyal, patriotic citizens, and are not plotting attacks as so many are in France. I'll get to more of that after the break. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. This is Mark Levine. Back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now. at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
I'm your host, Mark Levine. You know, I, like everyone else, treated Donald Trump as a buffoon, as a clown. I still don't think he knows much about foreign or domestic policy. I think he has charisma. I'll grant you that. He even can be amusing. I could see why he did well on his reality show. But I admit, I didn't take him seriously. In many ways, I don't take him seriously. But I have to take seriously the movement that supports him. The real ugliness by a minority of Americans that is showing its face by supporting him. And it's not just him. It's Ben Carson. It's Ted Cruz. It's Chris Christie and Jeb Bush refusing to really say anything. Chris Christie, it's not just Trump and Rubio and Carson. Jeb Bush talked about only allowing the Syrian Christians in, not the Muslims in. Chris Christie said, I don't know, I don't remember people celebrating in New Jersey, but maybe my memory's faulty, talking about Arabs celebrating the collapse of the Twin Towers. Ted Cruz says, I like Donald Trump. I guess he wants to get the Trump supporters if they happen to leave Trump. These are dangerous times in America. Listen to what some of Donald Trump's ideas. He's talking about a database of Muslims. Is that different from what happened in East Germany? We're going to have to do things that we never did before, said Trump. What does that mean? He's talking about invading the Middle East for oil. Well, at least it's out there. It's not just an idea. He talks about registering Muslims. You know, when the black guy in Alabama said Black Lives Matter, after he was kicked and punched by white men in the crowd, he fell to the ground. One of the men put his hands around the demonstrator's neck as if to choke him. This is the person that Donald Trump said maybe should have been roughed up. I don't ever use analogies to fascism lightly. But I want you to think about what we're seeing in America among Trump supporters. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back after this.
You say roughed up. He was so obnoxious and so loud. He was screaming. I had 10,000 people in the room yesterday. 10,000 people. And this guy started screaming by himself. And I don't know, rough up? He should have been, maybe he should have been roughed up, because it was absolutely disgusting what he was doing. This was not handled the way Bernie Sanders handled his problem, I will tell you. But mm-hmm. I have a lot of fans, and they were not happy about it. And this was a very obnoxious guy who was a troublemaker, who was looking to make trouble. But well, Donald Trump, I didn't get to see the event.
Maybe he should have been roughed up, Donald Trump says, in America, about a protester. You want to escort someone out who shouts out during a rally, okay. But should have been roughed up? Really? Should have been roughed up. Donald Trump, of course, would be much worse to people that may not be, but are at least accused of being terrorists. Let's play clip number two.
I think waterboarding is peanuts compared to what they do to us, what they're doing to us, what they did to James Foley when they chopped off his head. That's a whole different level, and I would absolutely bring back interrogation.
Yeah, waterboarding is much less worse than beheading. Are you letting ISIS set our standards, Donald Trump? To say that America is not going to torture as badly as ISIS, that's going to be your standard? Ben Carson supports waterboarding as well. Another word for waterboarding, of course, is torture. There are other things that Donald Trump is doing. Little things like making sure that all reporters stay within their designated zones. Little things that Saddam Hussein or Muammar Gaddafi or Vladimir Putin did or continue to do. Don't hear too many reporters complaining. They do want that story. His lies are just every day. Where Barack Obama was born, the fact that he's a Christian, things like that. He said that there were 200,000 Syrian refugees that President Obama was seeking to admit. There were actually 10,000 Syrian refugees. And he's talking about registering all Muslims, closing down mosques. And it's not just Donald Trump. Ben Carson has said that he saw the non-existent newsreels of New Jersey Muslims dancing and cheering after 9/11. Then Carson had to admit, oops, I guess I didn't see it. I guess it's just suggestive. I guess we're supposed to believe everything Donald Trump says. When a supporter at Donald Trump rally called Obama Muslim and said Muslims are a problem in this country, Trump didn't complain. Compare this, by the way, to John McCain. As recently as 8 years ago, John McCain, whom I disagree with on a number of issues, John McCain, when a woman called President Obama a Muslim and a terrible person, he said, no, ma'am, that's not true, and he's a good family man. Good for John McCain. How the Republican Party has changed. In Tennessee, where I was born, the chairman of the state legislature, Republican caucus, has called to mobilize the National Guard, round up Syrian refugees, and put them in camps. I haven't heard any Republicans complain about that. Many of them are saying Islam is inherently violent, inconsistent with constitutional values, making no distinction between a peaceful religion practiced by billions and a terrorist group that uses an extreme form of Islam as some kind of justification. And if you're going to say that that somehow harms Islam, then you're going to have to take issue with Aryan nations, which, or even the Ku Klux Klan, which uses a cross, a Christian symbol. I think there's a group called, I think it's Christian Identity, white supremacist group. Do they represent Christians? Is that fair? Why is America following these guys? Why Republicans? I shouldn't say America because it's just Republicans. Why are they leading the Republican pack? Again, it's not just Trump, who's the worst, and Carson, who's the second worst. Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, they're fine with the term anchor baby. Jeb Bush is fine with saying only Syrian Christians should be able to come in. Mike Huckabee is making jokes about transgender people. Chris Christie says no Syrian refugees should be accepted after 2 months of vetting. Why is America supporting this?
Isn't it 2 years of vetting, Mark?
It's 18 months to 2 years. Yeah. What'd I say?
2 months.
No, I'm sorry. It's 18 months to 2 years.
It's
a long time. It's
and
a very long
the,
time.
The average, I guess, and it's, I guess, been longer for Syrian refugees they found as well.
Yeah, it's much longer for Syrian refugees. And they're checking to make sure there are no terrorists mixed in among the mix. But let me say something else about what happened in France. A horrific, awful, terrible tragedy that reminded me of a terrific, awful, horrible tragedy that happened in Colorado in a movie theater. By just one guy. 130 dead in Paris. Disgusting. You know what happened this week in America? Twice that number were killed by guns. Twice that number of Americans were murdered this week by guns. In Paris, half that number is leading Paris to an all-out war. An active war against ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, whatever you want to call them. And yet twice that number were killed in America, not by Muslims, but by ordinary Americans wielding very easy-to-obtain firearms. And that's the number of murders. When you include the number of people killed by guns by suicide or accident, we got a Paris every day and a half. Every day and a half. We have 90 killed a day in America. By guns. 130 killed in Paris one day, an extraordinary day that's causing France to go to war and us too. You don't hear people saying we should deport Americans. Maybe we should need to deport Coloradans and Tennesseans and Californians and Oregonians and, well, these things happen everywhere. Everyone in Connecticut. Because of a madman in Newtown. I don't even hear calls for stricter gun laws. And yet now every Muslim American is suspect? Could we have a little bit of proportion here? Why is it that 130 dead in Paris, as awful and horrific and terrible as that was, inspires any more compassion than the 260 Americans killed this week by guns, and last week, and the week before, and the week before, and every single week in calendar year 2015. The reason is it's got nothing to do with violence. It has to do with racism. 62% of Republicans in a recent poll said, quote, they felt like a stranger in their own country, unquote. Really? This isn't the America you grew up in? What's changed? We still have Purple Mountain Majesties, beautiful rivers and oceans. We still have free market capitalism. We still have Social Security. We still have our cities and our country. What's changed? Could it be that America is less white than it used to be? And if that's not it, then what the heck are you talking about? 62% of Republicans. The problem is not terrorism. I understand Americans fear terrorism. I get that. I fear terrorism too. But I fear terrorism from everyone. I fear terrorism from a guy in Charleston who got a gun and went into a black church. Just as much as I fear terrorism from a guy in Colorado who brought a gun into a Superman movie. Or a guy in Oregon who brought a gun into his community college. Or a guy at Virginia Tech who brought a gun into his college. Or a guy in Newtown, Connecticut who brought a gun into a kindergarten. You get the point. Yeah, that could happen in American malls. Damn right it could. ISIS could do it. The KKK could do it. Some random madman with a gun who in my home state of Virginia can walk in, no questions asked, to a gun show and get weapons just as deadly as the ones that killed in Paris. That Republicans don't want to stop. They'll round up Muslims and put identification on them and close down mosques and ship out millions of Mexicans. But they won't take guns away from crazy people. They'll give the guns to the terrorists. I had one guy on my Facebook page, and I was saying how I supported gun laws, making it illegal to hand a loaded weapon to a three-year-old, something I thought was, I don't know, common sense. And he showed me pictures of terrorist children holding guns. What was his point? That he wants to make it easier to arm terrorist children? Mark. Let's go to Ashley in Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Ashley, how are you?
Hi, Mark. To answer your question about why I think Trump is climbing in the polls, is because I think that he represents what many Americans, their frustrations from the last 8 years, that many Americans feel that, you know, we haven't been represented well, especially in the face of terrorism, and that, you know, we're just kind of in this lull. And I think that Trump represents, you know, the voice of frustration, not that he is right or that I even support him, but that is one thing that I think that, you know, is why he's climbing in the polls, because Americans feel like that they have no other choice.
Explain this to me. I really want to understand, Ashley. You said American frustration in the face of terrorism. We haven't had a major terrorist attack in this country since September 11th. From ISIS. We've had them from Americans, mostly mentally ill, who shoot up places with guns, or racists who shoot up a black church in Charleston. But I'm not quite sure what people feel. What are they afraid of?
Afraid that it's going to come back to our soil. Afraid of another 9/11. Afraid.
Okay, I get that. I understand that. I don't want another 9/11. I work in Washington D.C. If it's going to come anywhere, it's going to come here. And I want security, absolutely. But then I see the same Americans who talk about deporting all Muslims, not wanting to make it easier for terrorists to buy guns at gun shows. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. You're exactly right, and I agree with you 100%. That I think that we're focusing on the wrong issues at this point. I think that what happened in Paris has Americans in fear that ISIS is just going to keep integrating these small targeted attacks. Now Americans are operating on fear after 9/11, after Paris, after what we've seen in the Middle East with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram, you know, the terrorist groups, and especially when their goal, after, you know, and they've made it very clear that America is the enemy, people are operating on fear now.
Well, let me ask you this.
Focusing on what's going on here at home, like you said, with the mentally ill obtaining weapons and guns and taking out innocent people, we don't want to focus on
that.
Well,
let me ask you, Ashley, because I really want to understand this. And you know, 9/11 was a scary time. I was actually working in Congress at the time. We thought that a plane was coming right for us. I drove home. The Pentagon was on fire. I remember September 11th. It was a scary day, and Paris absolutely shook me up. I thought it was awful, but In context, 3,000 innocent Americans were murdered on September 11th. That's true. This year, so far, 12,000 Americans have been killed by guns. That's true last year and the year before and the year before. And they weren't by terrorists. They were by sometimes mentally ill, sometimes a guy killing his wife, sometimes someone at work who's disgruntled. So why does that not frighten people? Why is Newtown less frightening than Paris?
It frightens me. I think that it doesn't, you know, Americans don't want to focus on our own problems. They want to, you know, they want to deflect the issues to someone else, or over here and over there, and not deal with what's going on here. Absolutely. I am afraid to go to the movies with my kids for members fear that some madman with a gun wanting to make a name for himself is going to come shoot up a theater. You know, of course, my concern personally is more local in our own country with mentally ill people. But to answer your question about why Trump is climbing in the polls, which I like I said, I don't necessarily agree with, is because I think Americans are operating on the fear of terrorism coming to our own soil.
I hear you, Ashley, and I think fear plays very well in politics. And one of the reasons why I told the Joe McCarthy story is I want people to understand that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was right when he said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, because fear
exactly.
itself is very dangerous and is more dangerous than the things that we fear. Ashley, stay on if you want. I'm going to invite some other callers to join as well at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
We should have a lot of systems, and today you can do it. But right now, we have to have a border, we have to have strength, we have to have a wall, and we cannot let what's happening to this country happen.
But that's
anymore.
Something your White House would like to implement.
Oh, I would certainly implement that. Absolutely.
What do you think the effect of that would be? How would that work?
It would stop people from coming in illegally. We have to stop people from coming in to our country illegally.
But Muslims specifically, how do you actually get them registered into a database?
It would be just good management. What you have to do is good management procedures. And we can do that. It's nice.
And do you go to mosques and sign these people up into the system?
Different places. You sign them up at different, but it's all about management. Our country has no management. Whose is that?
Would they have to legally be in this database? Would it be their
obligation? They have to be. Let me just tell you, the key is people can come to the country, but they have to come in legally. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, why would Muslim databases not be the same thing as requiring Jews to register in Nazi Germany? What would be the difference? Is there a difference between the two? Is there a difference?
Who are you with?
I'm with NBC News. Is there a difference between requiring Muslims to register and Jews?
You tell me.
Nazi Germany?
You tell me.
Do you believe?
Why don't you tell me?
Do you believe there is?
You tell me.
Should Muslims be, fearful? Will there be consequences if they don't register?
Oh, gosh, here's the beautiful.
So Donald Trump would register all Muslims in databases. Would there be the reporter asked, would there be consequences if they didn't sign up? We did register all Japanese Americans. We interned them in concentration camps. Now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt didn't always say it right. He showed his own fear. Now, I should call them internment camps rather than concentration camps because they certainly weren't murdered there. But we rounded up more than 100,000 Japanese Americans because we were at war with Japan and we feared for their loyalty. Put them in camps. It's a black mark on American history. Donald Trump is definitely tapping a chord. I don't know whether he believes in it or not, but he could be like Joe McCarthy. Sometimes you say a lie often enough and you start to believe your own lies. Whether he believes it or not almost is beside the point. A lot of Americans believe it. A lot of Republicans believe it. And he's ahead in the polls due to a really nasty sentiment that I think is un-American. For me, America is the land of the free, the home of the brave, and a place where people from all countries can come together and make a better life. I believe America will reject this sentiment. This is Mark Levine signing off.